Hey, everybody. It is Used Wigs Radio, podcast number... Let me check my notes.
Nine!
We are up to number nine, guys. That's a... Nine's a great number, right, guys? Think of all the great things, nine.
It's the highest single digit.
Right, and it's almost 10, and 10 is one of the most special numbers in special movies.
Do you know why 10 is so special?
I don't know.
You know why our number system is based on 10s?
No.
You honestly don't know? Russ?
I don't lie to you often.
Is our number system based on 10s?
Well, of course, yeah, our number system is based on 10s. Like, when you hit 10, you move to another digit.
Oh, right.
Okay. Go on.
It's because the number of our fingers.
Do you think so?
It's absolutely true.
It's absolutely true. Okay. But you know, we're really spending a lot of time on the number 10, but we're only on 9.
Oh, man.
This is probably gold
material. We
probably
can't paste this into our next podcast.
Yeah, you probably won't be hearing this till the 10th show. But the number 9 show, podcast number 9 for Used Wigs Radio, is a special show. We're going to do all covers, people, cover songs. You know, lots of bands over the years have done cover songs in their concerts live. And so many bands have done certain covers that they've come to be like special, and they even kind of reimagine and think they're so great that they can record them and put them out. You know, like I think Pearl Jam doing "Rockin' in the Free World" for the 5,000th time. You know, you finally get to the point where you put it on vinyl. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think some bands do really great cover songs, but you know what really irks me? And it happened about 20 years ago, and I will not let this band off the hook for it. It's when a band, on a debut album, their first or second single is a cover song and it becomes a hit.
All right. You're talking about the Black Crowes, right?
No, but they're in my notes, in my eight pages of notes. I'm talking about music, not nonsense, okay?
I saw him standing there.
No, this is that 10,000 Maniacs band, Peace Train. I just remember I was a young lad, and that was like the most omnipresent song, and they've made millions, you know, off that song, and it wasn't even theirs. So I'm saying, if you're going to do a cover song, you have to have 3 albums of established material, and then you're allowed to do a cover.
Okay.
Do you agree?
Okay, yeah.
Is that
that's
a good rule? You've heard it first here, guys. All you young bands out there, before you release something as a single, you need 3 albums of solid material, or you're going to end up like crappy bands. I have just a couple crappy bands that have put out huge hit songs that weren't theirs. Guns N' Roses, one of the worst bands of all time, no matter what you guys say, or this revisionist history that they were once good. They were a crappy hair metal band with a screeching lead singer. Anyway, 2 of their biggest songs weren't theirs.
I agree with that assessment of Guns N' Roses.
Thank you.
What, Live and Let Die?
Number one,
yeah.
Live and Let Die. And then they're so, just so bad, they had to do one of the hackiest cover songs that every band has done. I believe it's an old Bob Dylan song.
Oh, they did Knock on Heaven's Door.
They did. And
their version was ridiculous.
Horrible. Drawn out. And both of those songs went on to be pretty big hits for them.
Yeah.
Speaking of horribleness and Guns N' Roses, another criminal in the music scene, Sheryl Crow. I know she's going through tough times. I don't mean to badmouth you, Sheryl, but let's call you out here. She did Sweet Child of Mine. Did a horrible version of that.
Now, who did a cool version of Sweet Child of Mine?
Oh, I don't know.
Luna.
Oh, you're right.
They have a fantastic version of that song.
Sure. Luna, great band. The guy from Galaxy 500. And I won't belabor this. We're going to get right into the music because we have a lot of songs to play. But I will name 3 horrible bands right here. Limp Bizkit. They did a Who song.
Behind Blue Eyes.
Horrible. The Wallflowers killed a great Bowie song. Todd, Heroes.
I don't even pay attention to them.
And speaking of killing Beatles songs, Frank Sinatra just butchered a Beatles song back in the day. And you should look it up and listen to it.
You can tell us what it is.
The name of the song, Something.
Okay. I was going to say something.
Yeah, and he did something horrible to it. let's get right to the music. What we're doing here is I'm going to pick a song, and Russ is going to pick a song. We're just going to say who the artist is, and then we're going to play a little guessing game here on Podcast 9. Guys, the first song is by Ted Leo. The sum of my material planet in my head, which has just been devised since the 2010. Well, that solution is a problem. They put up a wall, run each our time and promise, make sure we get stuck on. They play their games of power, they mock and cut the path that deal us to the bottom.
take away our freedom in the name of liberty? Why can't they all just clear off? Why can't they let us be? They make us feel indebted for saving us from hell, and then they put us through it. It's time those bastards fell. We don't believe it, don't believe it, so don't be bitten twice. You got a suspect device. Hey.
Guys, I know everyone knows that song, and it's just going to be like, no. So just let me, who was it, guys?
It sounds familiar, but I don't...
It does sound familiar.
Yeah.
And we knew that it was going to be a cover of a punk song.
Of course.
And I thought, okay, here's going to be some crap that I didn't know in the first place, but a different punk band. But that was actually pretty enjoyable, and it's very familiar. So
it's,
I'll lay it on.
I'll lay it on you. We like to start off most... Use Wigs Radio podcast with a punk number, something to get the blood flowing. That was Ted Leo of Ted Leo and the Pharmacist fame doing a song by Stiff Little Fingers. Stiff Little Fingers was known as the Irish Clash. They came out at the same time as the Clash in the late 70s. They did a lot of political based music. They also got into reggae and dub like the Clash did back then. And that was a song called Suspect Device. It's about basically the troubles in Northern Ireland, the war between...
How do we know that song, though? Because that song is familiar to us, and I know I don't have any albums by that band that you mentioned. Could it have been from a movie?
Suspect Device, that particular song has been covered, like, umpteen times by, like, not even all punk bands. Just, like, the Pogues might have done it in concert. They probably have done it in concert. Many bands cover Stiff Little Finger song. Stiff Little Fingers is still playing. 30 years later, I saw them 2 years ago. My buddies from home, very big Stiff Little Fingers fans, dragged me out to a show. We went there. It was awesome. Two of my buddies figured they could just walk up and get tickets at the Electric Factory scalping. They're big scalpers, you know. It was completely sold out. And this story does my heart good. My one buddy's a detective back in Belmar, and my other buddy's an ATF agent. So they have badges. So after an hour of trying to get scalp tickets to no avail... My friend says, you know what, I'm just going to pull the old I'm-on-the-job thing and see it works. Walks right up to the Electric Factory door. There's two cops at the door. Friend John goes, you know, we came up from Jersey, couldn't get tickets, but we're both on the job. Any chance I'll see you in the show? Cop didn't say a word, opened the door, and just let them walk right in. They didn't have to show their badge or anything, and they got to see the show for free. So this goes out to you Philly cops. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Keep treating other cops well.
Or it goes out to everyone who wants to try that and doesn't even have a badge.
Todd, that's a great point. I think all you kids out there, if you look old enough, if you have a cop look to you...
Yeah, if you just get a flat-top haircut, you can walk into any
haircut,
concert and say that you're on the job.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Use Wigs doling out the sage advice here. guys, what'd you think?
I like that song.
Yeah. All right. I think, Todd, you're going to come up next with a little ditty.
Okay.
You don't really have to give us any hints, but you do have to tell us who's singing it.
Okay, this is by a band called Dread Zeppelin.
Walking in the marches, see all the labor. birds go down over the hills where the spirits fly.
And we're back. That was Dred Zeppelin. What do you guys think?
I liked it. I know the album. I know the band. I'm just not sure of the song. Is it from Houses of the Holy?
No.
No?
It's Misty Mountain Hop.
Oh.
Zeppelin 4. You know the thing about Dred
Zeppelin?
Do you
really Zeppelin? Not know?
I'm not a huge Zeppelin fan.
Oh, I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I really did. I knew it was Led Zeppelin.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was Do You Make Her, one of those songs.
The thing about Dred Zeppelin is that I actually like that when they don't do Zeppelin songs better. That one album where they do the cover of Smoke on the Water and
yes.
that kind of stuff, that's my favorite album.
Tord Elvis sings the classics. People that are out there that are not familiar with Dred Zeppelin, they are basically a band that has a bloated Elvis impersonator as a lead singer, backed up by an all-white reggae band, and they mostly do covers of Led Zeppelin songs. They do cover other things, and they're phenomenal to see live. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen live. They played here in Philadelphia a couple years, well, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now. They are based on the West Coast. They mostly play around there. So if you live in, like, California, Arizona, you should be able to catch them. And the show is phenomenal. All the stage theatrics of Elvis, including, like, a guy coming, putting the towel over him, you know.
And fat Elvis?
Fat, bloated Elvis. Like, yeah.
What other Elvis is there?
It's true.
Yeah, great show, great band.
Hey,
great song.
You know what? There's another category of people who do covers. It's that category of cover songs that people do a cover. It becomes a huge hit. And the artist doesn't really tell you, oh, yeah, it was a cover song.
Oh, I got a good one.
And most people don't realize that, wow, that guy ripped off an old bluesman or blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
You know, basically, everyone's ripped off an old bluesman in rock and roll. George Thorogood, two of his biggest songs were covers, and I didn't even realize this until I did. I spent hours of research into George Thorogood, which I like to do. Not his Delaware Destroyers, just George Thorogood. His One Bourbon, One Scotch, One Beer, that's not his song.
Yeah, I have the original. I forget who it is, though.
That's it. John Lee Hooker.
Yeah.
And his other, Moving On Over.
Yeah.
You know that big, dumb, drunk song?
Yeah,
that,
he stinks.
He does stink.
No matter if he wrote the songs or he's covering songs, he just stinks.
Hank Williams Sr. did Moving On Over.
Right, right.
My wife worked with one of the Delaware Destroyers. He's a music critic and a very nice guy. So when we say, George Thorogood, you stink, we don't necessarily mean your Destroyers stink. We're sure they're nice guys.
What was
guys.
The example that you had?
What was your, Todd?
Back in the 80s, remember the song, Always Something There to Remind Me?
Yes.
By Naked Eyes?
Yeah. That was a cover.
That's like an old doo-wop 60s girl band song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
We'll have to look that up.
Well, here's another one. I went to go see Cake and Cheap Trick open for them at the Electric Factory.
Yeah.
And Cheap Trick played... They played Out on the Street, the song from that 70s show, which they are the band that re-recorded it for the show. And they played it and announced it as one of their songs.
Oh, and it's
I'm not kidding you. And somebody in like the front or second row, after they finished and it was quiet, somebody yelled, "That's not your song. It's a Big Star song." And whoever that idiot with the guitar was throwing out the zillion
Ricky
picks,
Nielsen.
Yeah, he actually. He did. He got on the mic. Well, I didn't mean it was ours. He was doing his backpedaling. That's right. Yeah, it is a Big Star song, but we recorded it for the show.
Did the Big Star guitarist have five necks on his guitar? I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that they really were pretty ludicrous.
How were Cheap Trick though as a band?
You know what? They're over the hill.
I actually saw them.
I like them.
I saw them about 10 years ago play Great Adventure.
Yeah, that's
stuck.
That's their gig.
Yeah, they played for real. Let's go back to music.
Okay. My one last Black Crowes. their biggest hit when they first Hard to Handle.
Hard to Handle. Yeah, that who doesn't one. Know that, though?
That most people don't know.
Really?
Most people do not know that's a cover.
I just figured that.
Ask your class of kids and see if they know that,
they don't,
that Otis Redding song.
They know nothing, though, about music.
All right, you know what? It's time for Russ to drop some science on us. Russ,
okay,
what are we going to hear?
I'm going to change things up, and this is a very stylistically different cover. This is by The Beautiful South. Okay, we're back. Cover song. Who was it, fellas?
Well, Todd, I will let you. Obviously, I know because I'm older. I'm wiser. So I will defer to Todd. Todd, who was it?
Blue Oyster Cult was right. The original artist, right? Don't Fear the Reaper.
Right. That was a very nice rendition.
And speaking of bands over the hill, I actually saw Blue Oyster Cult, and this I saw them 12 years ago, headline what the show that will go down in infamy as the most notorious thing I've ever seen.
Uh-oh.
It was Blue Oyster Cult was the headliner, and the other three bands were Wishbone Ash, Nazareth,
ooh,
and Uriah Heep.
Wow. This is like, yes, a Long Island fest.
Yeah.
Aren't they from Long Island, Blue Oyster Cult?
Blue Oyster Cult is, yeah. And the show was on Westbury Music Theater in Long Island.
What was Blue Oyster Cult. They're either originally known as, or they used to play under this fake name.
Oh, I know it. But...
the initials are SWU. This is one of the dumbest pieces of rock and roll minutia. Soft White Underbelly. Yeah, they used to play under that one.
The initials really helped out there.
Yeah, I figured that might have helped out a bit.
I knew it was going to be Soft White something.
And the Beautiful South, Russ. The weird thing was, I was really, if I had $100, I would have bet all $100 that was going to be a Canadian band doing another Canadian cover song.
No, they are out of the UK.
Wow.
They're actually a great band, very prolific. They've just always been flying under the radar, but every one of their albums is really fantastic, I think.
It has one of those names you think you, like the Beautiful South, like, oh, I've heard them, they did, and then you're like, hold it, I don't know what they did.
Yeah.
I think a lot of kids might be familiar with that original tune because of the Saturday Night Live sketch.
Really?
Don't you think? You know, with Christopher Walken as a music producer, and he's playing the cowbell.
Yeah, that's the More Cowbell.
Oh, is that?
Yeah,
oh,
More Cowbell.
More Cowbell?
Sure,
song?
Yeah.
I did
so
not
I think
know
most
that.
People be familiar with that song, even though it's like kind of.
And I believe it was also redone in a recent horror flick. So
yes,
we can go look that up while we play some other songs, guys. I'm just gonna hit
Fear.
Fear.
Uh-huh, I think
with Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon.
I believe so. Yeah,
oh, it's a great one.
Nice slow version of it, and that it was pretty
yeah.
cool too.
And the girl from the Tony Danza sitcom, what's her name? Melissa Milano. She was also in that, in a bathing suit.
Tomato!
You know what? Every Italian guy can do an imitation of Tony Danza. If you're an Italian guy who cannot do Tony Danza, then you really aren't an Italian guy. Like, I'm an Irish guy, and I can do Tony Danza.
It's a rite of passage.
Right.
It's like our bar mitzvah.
Okay. I have just a couple pieces of cover song trivia. The famous David Bowie song China Girl was not a David Bowie song. Who originally did it in 1977?
Iggy Pop.
Nice, Russ. And I thought Todd would jump in, but maybe Todd was just polite and deferred to
No, you. I didn't know. I'll be honest.
Okay, that was, yeah, done in David Bowie 83, redone by David Bowie in 83.
He produced a couple of Iggy Pop records.
Yeah, they were good friends, actually. Yeah. Come On, Feel the Noise, that horrific song by a horrific band, Quiet Riot, was not done by Quiet Riot. It was done 10 years earlier by...
Slade.
Nice, Russ. I think Russ might run away with this. Russ, Downtown Train, the Rod Stewart hit in 1990.
Tom Waits.
Nice!
Oh, I knew that.
What?
Hold it. Russ 2,
early.
Todd 1. You can jump in at any time.
Oh,
it's not Jeopardy.
I know that.
We may be watching Jeopardy, but it's not Jeopardy rules. You can chime in whenever you know it. Okay. The First Cut is the Deepest, Sheryl Crow in 2004, was not a Sheryl Crow song. That she'd like you to believe that. And again, I'm not picking on you, Sheryl Crow. I like you. I just don't like your dumb ex-boyfriend. Stupid bike.
Boitano?
Brian Boitano.
Brian Boitano did not do The First Cut is the Deepest.
No, it's like Glenn Frey or some 80s crap like that.
So close. It's a 1967 song by Cat Stevens. Okay.
I think Cat Stevens also wrote The Heat Is On, so that's why.
And then he was so embarrassed by writing The Heat Is On that he changed his name, changed his religion, and fled the country. All right, one last one. Pearl Jam had one of its biggest hits with Last Kiss, which was not their song. It was a very old song by a very obscure band. I really don't think anyone
did. Yeah, I don't know.
J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers. Nope. And I will end this trivia bit with, I hate this band, even though everyone likes them, everyone who pretends to like hard rock, that is, Metallica. They did a song, Whiskey in the Jar, which I
thought... Oh, yeah.
That is a Thin Lizzy song.
Yeah. Right. And you know what?
The original is really a great song.
The original's a great song, and Metallica did a great version of it. So... kudos to you, Metallica. I still don't like you, but you did a pretty good job.
But is it even the Thin Lizzy song? Is it an original Thin Lizzy?
I believe it's an old Irish drinking.
Yeah, I think
it's an old Irish drinking song. But Phil Lynott, who was they're all Irish. He was a big Irish drinker, and he just reimagined it and put it to a rock song.
Yeah, it's a great tune.
Yeah, because I definitely have heard traditional versions of that.
Guys, I think I'm up next with another cover song. And you know what? The first one was real obscure, so I'm not going to get too obscure. Of course I am. This is Burning Airlines.
Back of the law.
we're back. Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 9, the all-cover songs podcast of Used Wigs Radio. Guys, that was Burning Airlines doing a song by which band?
Your neighbor?
No, not my neighbor. My neighbor didn't have any hits.
No idea. But you're exploiting our weaknesses.
I am. Maybe subconsciously I was trying to pick a genre of songs that maybe you guys knew nothing about.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nothing is a little strong, Jeff.
No, That was one of the biggest bands of the 80s who were on many, many soundtracks. John Hughes,
Simple Minds or something?
It's in that same genre. That was Echo and the Bunnymen.
Echo and the Bunnymen
is one of my favorite bands. Still going strong, and they still, they just put out an album, which is fantastic. And that was Burning Airlines, who is just a small, it's by Jay Robbins, who was in a band called Jawbox, and he's one of the biggest indie producers in music. He's worked with such bands as everyone from... Boy, let me look at my notes here. So many. No, he's Dismemberment Plan, Promise Ring, Jets of Brazil, Jimmy Eat World, Against Me. He's like a punk rock producer god. And his name, Russ, this is a little trivia question, Burning Airlines, was named after a song by an artist producer, famous artist producer. Does that ring any bells with either of you, Burning Airlines? The guy's also, I think, one of David Bowie's best friends. No? Brian Eno? Nothing?
Oh, okay.
Okay, it was a Brian Eno song.
Alrighty.
So I thought it was a pretty rocking cover, because the original, Back of Love, is a pretty mellow song. And that wasn't. Anyway, that went over...
I think we, as well as all of our listeners, will have to take your word for that.
Yeah, that went over like a pregnant pole vaulter.
No, the song was good, though.
That's quite alright. No. I'm dejected, so why don't we next go to Todd? And you can prep your next song.
Okay. You're about to hear... The Mates of State.
Children boogie.
Okay, and that was The Mates of State. I believe you guys recognize the song.
I certainly did. I will defer to Russ.
Starman, David Bowie.
Nice. Give us a little science on the song Starman, David Bowie. What year, or what album, what was it? Was that part of the whole Space Oddity?
Ziggy Stardust.
Right. Okay.
And The Spiders from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons, I think, to have ears.
Yeah.
One of the biggest reason to have ears as a human being. How's that for a review?
I'm not going to argue with you there. What The Mates of State? Now, they're a guy and a gal, I believe?
Husband and wife, yeah.
Wow, that's more than just a guy and a gal.
And their voices blend. I think their voices blend together fairly, kind of, to make a unique sound. It's nice.
That means they see each other's nether region.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. That means a step on a private joke.
It wasn't really a joke. It was just more than just a guy and a girl in a band. Like, a husband and a wife in a band. Name another husband and wife in a band. Type band.
The White Stripes.
Aren't they supposedly brother and sister?
They were actually husband and wife, but they're since divorced, but still playing together, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, the Carpenters, who were brother and sister, right, but who were also married.
Paul and Linda.
Paul and Linda McCartney. Have you guys ever heard, it's kind of radio, a lot of radio shows play it. I guess Linda McCartney back in the day was a bit of a, just of an annoyance, and she didn't really get along with a lot of the stage crew.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about.
And a guy on the
isolated mic.
Yeah, the guy on the soundboard just was fed up with her one day, so he decided to isolate just her vocals on the rock anthem, Hey Jude, one of the greatest songs of all time. And it is truly one of the most horrific performances. It is just like an animal being intermittently beaten with a stick.
That's not fair to animals.
It really is. And she was an animal lover.
Yeah, where can we get a copy of that? Do you know that then the band The Loud Family put out an album called The Tape of Only Linda?
Oh my God, did they really?
They have an album called that. But I've never heard that recording. I've always wanted to.
I'm sure if you just type in on that magical website, Google Linda McCartney isolated and Hey Jude, you get to hear that little treat. How did we get to the Linda McCartney from Mates? Oh, Mates
husband
of State.
Yeah, husband and wife.
Okay, so who was the greatest husband and wife team ever to play in a band? Have we decided?
The greatest?
Why don't we think about that?
Okay.
We'll fire up our laptops while Russ hits us with a song. Russ, who are we going to hear now?
This one is from probably one of the freakiest and most interesting bands of all time, The Residents.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we're back. What
Yay.
Was it?
I know what it was. Something I don't like.
What? the cover or the original?
Both?
I'm not a big fan of either, but was that band, do they normally like sing from like a coffin? Like, is that the sound they were going for?
No, I mean, we need a whole show to explain what they're all about, but one of their things is deconstructing pop music and really maiming it like that. But the reason why I like that one so much is because I really think that it would be great for a dark beginning to a movie. I just see that as like a Tarantino beginning or something like that. I think it's that kind of a... I mean, you know, I know that's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think it's kind of cool.
That was Jailhouse Rock, right? Just to get
by
that
Elvis kid. Aaron Presley.
Elvis, yep. Aaron Presley.
Uh-huh. And you know, I think that a lot of people might know the Residents as having the eyeballs on their head.
Right, like tuxedos and eyeballs.
Yeah.
Right. They're still around, still playing, Russ?
They are, yeah.
Anywhere around here?
You know what? They very, very rarely play live. They've only...
Good.
they've only had about 4 tours in their existence since 1974, and I was lucky enough to see them at the Trocadero, which is what got me so interested in them, because I didn't know anything about them when I went to go see them, but a friend of mine said, listen, these guys don't ever tour, so we have to go. Believe me, it'll be an event.
Now,
it was shocking.
Can I guess the guy-to-girl ratio? 99.5 to 0.5.
You know what? There actually were a decent amount of girls there, I have to say.
Really?
There are a lot of resident groupies.
acquired taste.
Sure, and that's what we're all about on Newswigs Podcast Radio. You know, turning you on to new music. Music you probably won't hear on the radio. And if you don't like it, you can always turn on your radio and you can hear, you know, crappy cover songs by crappy bands or crappy originals by crappy bands. Whatever you like, it's on the radio.
All of your crap needs.
All your crap needs. Just turn on that shit box, turn around that dial, and we can find a song that'll suit your needs.
It's funny to come off the song we were just coming off, though, and talking about what crap is on the radio.
And that's not, it's not crap.
No.
I'm a fan. You know, I'm a fan of the Residents.
Crap is,
cool.
Is, you know, defined differently by every
right.
by everyone.
Crap is another man's treasure.
I just thought of a real crappy cover song. A song by Joni Mitchell, one of her most popular songs, done by the Counting Crows.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that, what is it? I don't know what the name of it is. It's that Pave a Parking Lot?
Yes, it's that Big Yellow Taxi.
Big Yellow Taxi.
Now, the song, when it was originally done by her, it's kind of hard to take. It's a little, like, you know, I kind of, you know, get the sentiment of the song, and her singing it, it's, you know, digestible. But when a guy does it and sings, like, that giggling little verse that she does, you just want to smack him. That song just...
Well, I saw them live one time, and that was one of the only times I was ever embarrassed for the band on the stage, because he is just such a goober.
Oh, is he?
And he was standing up on stage in front of, it was Counting Crows and Live, so I guess this is about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And
what girl dragged you to that show?
Yeah, my cousin Lynn.
Right, there you go.
But every other night they would switch, and one of the other band, you know, so Live would open one night, and then they would be the headliner the next night. Right. Counting Crows was the headliner, I think, the night I saw them. And he was talking about on stage that the night before he had a first date. And he was, like, being all giggly
that
and shy.
That is adorable.
All this kind of stuff. And he was saying all this stuff. Oh, like, you know that first date feeling? I have that tonight. Isn't it great? And he was, like, holding himself and, like, making these little cuddle movements. And
I generally don't throw things at guys on stage. Like, I, you know, I don't generally try to do that. But if I had a bottle, a sneaker, a lighter... Or a lighter and a bottle and fashioned a Molotov cocktail. I think Adam Duritz should be on the receiving end of that.
It was really embarrassing.
But you know what it works for him? Because the guy, all he does is date actresses and models. And he's not the best looking guy. You know?
Yeah.
And now all he does is songs for children's movie soundtracks. So good for him.
I think I have a fantastic husband and wife team as far as...
Oh, did you get that? Because I saw you doing a lot of research there.
Well, he was over there looking at Tuck and Patty.
I dare anyone to come up with a better one than Ike and Tina Turner.
Wow, that's true.
I dare you to.
Right, a more loving or more bruised.
Well, I'm not saying that their relationship was phenomenal.
It was
right.
Tough love.
But look at the movie.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's true. Good
Small
music.
Price to pay.
Is he still around, Ike?
Yeah, I think he's still touring.
Okay, we'll look that up. I'm going to hit you guys with another song that's obscure, and I don't think we're going to really get a lot of good feedback on it. But It is one of my favorite songs in the past 10 years. And I'm going to give you just a little hint. The song is done by an actor, not even a legitimate singer.
Oh.
This song is done by Alessandro Nivolo.
If I was going to say, if that was Jamie Foxx, you were getting a smackdown of biblical proportions.
I thought it was going to be Shatner's Ordinary People.
I ain't playing any Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Guys, that was Alessandro Nivolo, backed by Sebadoh's, Lou Barlow, and two other guys from The Folk Implosion, which is Lou Barlow's other band.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a bunch of songs on the soundtrack for Laurel Canyon. Remember the movie Laurel Canyon?
Nope.
That sweet little sweet honey bunch,
Kate Beckinsale.
The guy who played Batman, Christian Bale. And it's just about, it's one of the coolest chill movies. Just about this like hippie old woman record producer and her straight-laced son who comes back with his little girlfriend, Kate Beckinsale.
Okay.
And it's just like a real kind of not a lot going on, like frustrated sexuality between, you know, the two, and such great music. One of the best soundtracks, Roxy Music's on there, a couple songs by Alessandro Nivolo, who's an actor, but he's also a singer, and he's put out some pretty good stuff.
What was he ever in? What would we know him from?
He was just in the movie Junebug, little indie flick Junebug with M. Betts Davids, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
he's one of those indie guys, and he's also in an, This is a good little seg from last week. He's in an independent Irish movie called Turning Green that Brian Seymour has a song on, the soundtrack.
Yeah, cool.
And that should be coming out soon. Anyway.
I love the fact that this is a cover of a song that no one knows.
Yes.
By an actor that no one
knows.
Has seen. Backed by a band that no one knows.
Right.
No.
Right. And I'm a music snob, and I just think I took it to the top level.
Right.
Of music snob. But just listen to it, play it. And it was originally done by Sparkle Horse.
Okay.
Yeah, Sparkle Horse has put out some of pretty good stuff.
They're an excellent band.
And the original song is awesome, but it's really dirty. Like, the mix is really dirty, and you can hardly hear that great melody, but it's there. And I think that was one of the things when, like, Lou Barlow heard it, like, this song would be great for a guy, that real dramatic voice that really sells that.
Mm-hmm.
So that just, to me, that's, like, the best song I've heard in so long.
Okay.
I'm cheering up. I just love it so much.
Wow.
Yeah. any other old cover songs that you guys like that you might not like want to admit to, but you're like, yeah, I really like it when I hear that. Anything?
I like Willie Nelson's Time After Time, a cover of a Cyndi Lauper song.
And isn't that originally a song? Didn't the Hooters write that? Didn't they write all her songs? There's two Hooters.
Did they really?
Like, they wrote, like, yeah, Time After Time, True Colors. Name the two Hooters. Well, we'll look that up. I might be talking smack.
One of them is Andy something. Right?
No, it's, we should know this, being
Philadelphia
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, Mark.
I wasn't in Philadelphia at that time.
Oh, I was. Anyway, yeah, that's a pretty good one. And, what was... I'm totally blanking out. I'm not a big Cyndi Lauper fan, so that's what I'm blanking out.
Yeah,
what do you think?
She's so unusual.
She really was unusual. And the whole
She-bop. You know what the song She-bop is about?
I know people like to think it's about masturbation.
It was about masturbation.
Was it?
She
was about female
so.
Masturbation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Right.
Okay. Was it masturbating with thinking of Lou Albano? Or was it just any sort of masturbating?
Anybody.
That little rubber band.
Rubber band,
little
fierce
rubber
face,
band,
yeah.
Fierce face. What do you think it takes to make, like, why do a cover song? Like, Lenny Kravitz, that overrated, just, he's a model. That's all he is. He can't sing. His songs suck. He did American Woman.
Yes.
By the Grand Funk.
No.
Guess Who.
I'm sorry.
Thank God we're here to help.
Jesus Christ. That's a Canadian band, right? The Guess Who?
Yes, they were.
Sure. He redid that, and there was no reason to redo it. It sounded like the original, just with his...
I'm with you, yeah.
Right? Like, why...
If you're going to cover a song, make it your own. Otherwise, why would we listen to your version of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is fantastic, because my next song
Ooh.
Is an artist that takes a song that I think many people, most of us, should know or Ooh. Will know, and really, really makes it their own.
Todd, I am so intrigued. Who are we going to listen to?
Granddaddy.
Better free your mind instead.
Thanks for listening. This is Used Wigs Radio Podcast number 9, the all-cover show, and that was Granddaddy.
That was Granddaddy, and I think anyone who's listened to music with their ears over the past 40 years would know that song.
Uh-huh.
From the commercial.
Oh, yeah.
The Nike commercial.
The Nike Air commercial, yeah.
Right. I love when my favorite song is co-opted by a giant corporation mm-hmm. and given to the masses to enjoy.
Yeah.
It's great.
It makes you want to buy the thing.
Now, what version of Revolution was that? Was that Revolution number 9 or just Revolution?
Revolution. Revolution number 9 is the Yoko Ono, John Lennon project on the White Album there.
Okay, so aren't there 3 Revolution?
Yeah, then there's a fast one also on the White Album. Mm-hmm. Then they did a slower version that was a single, I think a B-side of one of their other works.
Yeah.
But so what'd you think about that?
I liked it a lot. See, that goes right along with, if you're going to redo it, reimagine it, put a little effort into it.
Arguably, if the words were changed or they were just saying blah, 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 you may not have even known what song that was.
Oh, you're right.
You know, like the whole flavor of it, the pacing of it, the...
I like Granddaddy.
Yeah.
And it's one of those bands where I think I've heard them before, and I'm always like, yeah, I think I like them. But you really don't know if you like them, and now I know I like them.
You do like them.
I do like them. Thank you.
Here's some trivia, by the way.
I like trivia.
What is the most covered song in the history of music?
Oof.
Or at least, I learned this maybe 4 years ago.
According to who?
According to what I read.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it would probably be Yesterday by the Beatles.
It is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The most covered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that's true.
Yeah.
And Todd, of course, you being a Beatles fan, you know...
Attic.
Attic.
An attic.
Paul McCartney would, of course, write the music first and just sing nonsense lyrics.
Yeah.
And you know what the nonsense lyrics...
Does Russ know?
Russ,
yes, it was originally called Scrambled
Eggs. Don't waste our time with this.
Jeez, God, I'm such a piker compared to you two when it comes to...
I don't think that this is officially documented anywhere, but I would like to say... here's my question. What do you guys think is the most covered song by guys who just play in bars?
Okay, good.
What is the most covered song in that instance?
That's a great...
I have a guess.
Okay, I think, like, old school bar bands, I mean, when they've got to get the crowd going, they're going to cover, like, a Neil Diamond, you know, like, just like a one of those things. The newer bands who want to do, like, we're still rocking. And I've seen a few cover bands over the years. You know what's a weird one they all do? James Laid... because of the sexual connotation. It was a great song. Bank James, he came out that song Laid. And the other song that... Flagpole Sitta by Harvey Danger. Remember that one that came out a while ago?
Well, these are all more recent.
I'm thinking
picks,
Joker by Steve Miller Band.
See, my pick is going to be... The song that I've played more times than ever and that I've just seen more people play is...
No.
What, do you have another
game? No, we mentioned it earlier. Like, bands rocking in the free world, people like that.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
But I think that one that has even been for a longer period of time.
Name the band. Don't tell us the song.
Originally a Bob Dylan song.
Oh, so it's Not Knocking on Heaven's Door.
No.
Is it?
Subterranean Homesick Blues.
No.
All on the Watchtower.
All on the Watchtower.
Ah.
That's my guess. And the reason why is because it's 3 chords. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows the lyrics. And so when you have like all of your friends from the other band down the block and they come to see you play and they're like, yo, you guys want to get up on stage and play a song with us? The one song that you don't have to rehearse.
Oh, there you go.
And everybody can always play at a coffee house together or whatever is All Along the Watchtower.
Huh.
And that's just my 2 cents.
So you could have, it's one of those things where you have like 8 guys on guitar all looking at each other kind of laughing as you're playing it and like 3 guys singing and the audience like, man, this
sucks. Could be somebody on tambourine.
Right, like one of the guy's girlfriends jumps up. Like our drunk girl just from the crowd. Look at me, I'm with the band. you're right. You hear that a lot.
And you know, there's nothing to back it up. It's just in my experience, that is the tune.
Here's one, Russ. Last week, we were just talking about Jeff Buckley. You know his big song, Hallelujah?
Yes.
That's not his song.
No, that's a Leonard Cohen
song. Oh, Russ, very good. Leonard Cohen, Canadian?
Yes, he is.
Ah, I see.
And who else covered that song for the Shrek soundtrack?
Right in Russ's wheelhouse, though. You know why I don't know that?
Rufus Wainwright?
Yeah, you were making a scrunchy face, but I know you're a big Rufus fan.
Yeah, no, I'm a gigantic Shrek fan now. I'm even bigger Shrek fan.
Oh, okay.
So is that, do you think, cool for... for musicians to put songs on kids' soundtracks now?
It's getting cool, yeah. It's becoming like the new thing to do as a musician. Is that because they're all having kids and now they're trying to...
I gotta tell you, I mean, I'm a dad, and I, because I'm a music snob and I'm a dad, my daughter won't listen to crap music. It's just not allowed. So we do have CDs where it's various artists, and it's really good stuff. I mean, the number one band is They Might Be Giants. They put out exceptionally smart,
they have two albums and one book with an accompanying CD called Bed, 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 Here Come the ABCs, the CD, and No is the first one.
And they're both super clever, super catchy. And then there's Dan Zane, who was...
Danzig? Yeah, they're
Please, parents, this is a little word of advice to you. Do not confuse Dan Zane with Danzig. But there's a lot of good children's music.
Can I just share an interesting story? When they might
You can't.
Okay.
The time's up.
Sure, I don't blame
Todd, of course you can. We have no time limit on
this
show.
In an interview with They Might Be Giants, they were talking about going on tour, playing their children's music, and how rewarding they found that to be. And one of the Johns was saying, as a matter of fact, John Flansburgh was saying that it's really great when, for instance, like a sax player would stand up and do a sax solo, and you'll see all these kids, like a whole room full of kids, like spinning in circles and running around and dancing, and there'll be like one kid standing there, focused in, like really like looking very closely at the sax player,
right.
And you know that kid is going to probably grow up and become a sax player. And then the other John Linnell, chimes in and says, or a saxophone player assassin.
Josh, hit us with something. What are we going to listen to?
There's no mystery on this one because this one's taken us out. This is one of my favorite covers of all time. This is the Get Up Kids and their cover of Close to Me by The Cure.
Nice. It's good. It was fun.
I thought that was a really good one.